freedom of speech and religion are important rights for Christians because we are called to lift up Jesus.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Paavi Rossinen talking about her presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I have been a member of the Parliament of Finland for 27 years, but now, suddenly, I'm facing three criminal charges for sharing my deeply held beliefs based on the Bible. At the trial, the prosecutor tried to deny the core message of the Bible, the teaching of law and gospel. I defend the right to confess the Christian faith and its teaching on the human being.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paavi Rossinen at the 2022 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
I must begin these very brief remarks by thanking God for delivering me to this point in my professional journey.
Does the meaning of the phrase woman mean anything anymore? And the supreme irony here is that President Biden said he was only going to appoint an African-American woman to the Supreme Court. Well, what did that actually mean?
But when you look at a decision like Roe, it has not promoted judicial consistency, but rather judicial instability.
The only thing for us as Christians that brings restoration into our lives is something that the humanist does not know, and that is forgiveness of sins.
This is Ezra from Louisville, Kentucky.
This is Ezra from Louisville, Kentucky.
And my mom loves Issues Etc.
And my mom loves Issues Etc.
Every confession of faith has a theological tradition. Some are good. Some are not good, and some are very bad. What is the theological tradition of confessional Lutheranism, in particular, that string of American Lutheranism celebrating its 175th anniversary this year, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Does it have its own robust theological tradition? If so, what is it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ken Sherb, author of the chapter in the book Teach These Things, titled The Historic Missouri Synod Approach to Theology, about the theological tradition of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But first, we are going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, and our comment line, 618-223-8382.
Let's begin with some email about the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Along the same theme, a few emails. Julie, I'm appalled that you have chosen to have William Barr speak at the premier conference for Lutheran laity. I do not feel his morality issues are in line with Christianity. Sad day for sure. My faith in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is challenged. Natalie is a financial contributor to your program. I did want to express my disappointment that you're having former Attorney General Bill Barr speak at your conference. Although I have heard him speak on the issue of religious liberty, I believe that he is compromised ethically because of his failure to investigate Hunter Biden's laptop, even though the FBI and Justice Department had it in their possession in the fall or winter of 2019. He also did not call for an investigation of election irregularities, although it was clear in November of 2020 that there were many problems with the election. Election fraud was written about. One of your former panelists, Molly Hemingway, and is finally getting some attention, but this should have been handled long ago by Bill Barr's Justice Department. Along with many conservatives, I feel that he is a member of the deep state and will ultimately be held accountable for his failure to do his constitutional duty. This comes from Dan. I'd consider attending if it weren't for former Attorney General Bill Barr. I consider him to be a disgrace to the office and a leading cause of the current abomination in chief. Why would you ask such an incompetent person to speak? I generally love the podcast and try to support the LPR effort, shaking my head in disbelief. And let's see, one more. Caleb in Milwaukee, he said, I don't know if you guys know this yet, but apparently Bill Barr is speaking at your 2022 Making the Case conference this year. How could this have happened? Unbelievable. That said, see you there. Sounds like it should be another great conference. Thanks for everyone's feedback and for listening.
As I've said several times already, as we've gotten feedback from our listeners on Bill Barr's speaking at our conference, if you don't want to come to the conference, that is certainly your right. I think you're missing something if you were going to come otherwise. I think you're missing something, an opportunity to hear what Barr has to say about religious liberty. And what did he say? Bill emailed you and we settled on a specific topic, not just religious liberty, but what
yes,
was it?
Yes, his title is officially Making the Case Against the Progressive Assault on Religious Liberty.
Okay, so he really is perhaps this generation's expert on that very subject. So look, you're missing an opportunity to hear this generation's expert on that subject, whatever else you may think about them. You know, you can listen to people with whom you disagree. I don't think it is helpful to impugn his character or his competency. He's obviously has a career that speaks to his competency. Ask yourself this question. I've posed this before. If Bill Barr were still in Donald Trump's good graces, if they were still playing golf together, I don't know that they ever did, but if they're still playing golf together, palling around, supporting one another, what would your opinion be of us having him speak at the conference? Ask yourself that question honestly. Lay aside all the accusations that he's a political hack or whatever you want to call him. If he were still in Donald Trump's good graces today, how would you feel and think about us having Bill Barr speak at our conference? If he was still part of the Trump inner circle, ask yourself that question honestly. I think that's the issue here. But again, if you don't want to come to the conference for any reason, you don't have to.
Well, Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, right before we went on the air, we only have 25 slots available. It's going to be sold out at least 2 months in advance. So if you would like to meet and hear Bill Barr along with Al Mohler and Will Wheaton and Chris Roseborough and Dr. Joel Bierman and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and Dr. Pavi Rossinen, you better register soon, issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case is June 24th and 25th at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois.
And I, for one, am actually looking forward to hear what he has to say. Having seen his Notre Dame speech that he gave in 2019 on the assault on religious liberty, I've gotten a little preview of it. And it's a tour de force. It's fantastic. And it is an issue that will affect every single Christian in America for the rest of our lifetimes.
Scott writes about a previous Issues Etc. book of the month, Eternal Anthem. Scott said, it's an overrated book. I've been in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod half my life, and my grandpa was a pastor, and half the songs in this hardly anyone knows or sings. Where's Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Angels from the Realms of Glory. O come, Emmanuel, no rock of ages, amazing grace, what a friend we have in Jesus. Christ the Lord is risen today. It's called The Stories Behind Your Favorite Hymns. Yes, missing almost all of my favorites. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for listening, Scott.
Well, you're never going to hit everybody's favorites. A couple times a year at Easter and at Christmas, we do What's Your Favorite Easter Hymn and Why, and we do What's Your Favorite Christmas Hymn and Why, and then we get all these votes in, and the favorites are all over the place. We usually have at least 20 different hymns that our listeners will say, this is my favorite for Easter or for Christmas. So everyone's favorites list is going to be a little bit different. And they could only include 50. The book's only going to be so big. So they had to make some choices. And had they picked all your favorites, someone else would be writing us right now saying they didn't pick all mine. So I think they're doing what they can do.
You know, Pastor Denzer, recently in our Historic Liturgy series, said something about the season of Lent as if we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Maybe some of this email is Lent-related.
How do you mean that?
I just want to remind everybody, Christ is risen.
Yeah, it's easy to forget.
It is. It is. Believe me, I've got 5 kids. I know how crazy this world can be. But Christ has conquered the world. He really has. And I'm not saying I'm not practicing any kind of theological escapism or not deal with reality.
But the fact that Jesus is alive changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And it ought to change our hearts and our minds regarding even the smallest things in our lives. You know, I've said this before in many sermons, when you find yourself in the midst of anxiety, and who hasn't had anxiety in the last couple of years, added to what we already experience in everyday life, remind yourself, Jesus is alive. If he's alive, Paul says, nothing can stand against us. There is no enemy at all that can stand against us or harm us if Jesus is alive, and he is.
And why do we fear? Why do we fear? Myself included. I mean, I'll just be honest. These are really scary times, especially if you're trying to raise Christian children. The fact of the matter is, we have God's word. We have God's word. What are we afraid of? What are they going to do? Imprison you? Torture you? Kill you? So what? So what? Christ has risen from the dead, and so will you, O believer, and baptize in Jesus Christ.
What's next?
Let's see. Andy says, this is in regards to my email about being a secretary on a board, and nobody acknowledges the work of a secretary unless there's a typo or a mistake in meeting minutes. Now, truth be told, I think most people don't read the meeting minutes, especially in advance of meetings like they're supposed to. But anyway, Andy says, in responding to listener email 0951 at 2243, Jeff said, nobody commends the secretary when the minutes are good. Nobody says, great job, etc. I'm guessing that Jeff has not had the privilege of serving on a church board with Tim Gagline. Tim regularly compliments the monthly board meeting minutes and usually sends out an email to the board afterward telling us how well the meeting went. Tim is the most positive and optimistic person I know. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening in Maryland, Andy. So there you go. Tim Gagline appreciates.
He appreciates meeting minutes and board secretaries.
Exactly. This comes from another Andy. Dear Pastor Wilkin, in episode 0901 on March 31st, 2022, at around the 11:17 mark, Pastor Bender made the comment that unbelief turns us sinful humans into the opposite of what God is, with an example being that instead of self-giving and sacrificial, we become self-centered and introverted. Is Pastor Bender implying or suggesting that introversion, the personality trait opposite of extroversion, is a sin? Does an introvert need to repent of his introversion and become more of an extrovert? Clarification is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Andy.
Well, first of all, I think most of the introvert-extrovert distinctions that we make, I think they're bogus. We all know people who are outgoing. That's another word for saying extrovert. Turned outwards, that's what it means. Introvert means turned inwards. Now, Luther is famous for talking about sin as being curved in on oneself, that is turned in on oneself. And that's what introvert means. It means turned inward. I don't like that language at all, because I don't think when someone says, I don't like spending time with lots of people, that they're saying, I'm turned inward on myself. I don't think that's what they mean to say when they say, I'm an introvert. I think what they mean to say is, I am retiring. I am perhaps shy. I am perhaps uncomfortable in social situations. Jeff used to talk about me, this was years ago, being a recluse? An antisocial recluse?
Yeah, social recluse.
Living in the compound?
Yeah, living in the Wilkin compound. This was before COVID.
Yeah, well, and that's because I have often, as I've often said, I would rather be home than any place else in the world. I'd rather be at home with my wife and my family than going out amongst other people. I don't mind going out amongst other people. Part of my profession, both my pastoral profession and this profession, requires that I do it. It doesn't mean I'm a recluse. It just means I'd rather be home. I'd rather actually spend time with my wife than anyone else. Than anyone else in the world. I mean, my grandkids, if you put them in there, it's a close competition, but they can be exhausting. My wife is not nearly as exhausting as my grandchildren are. I love them with all my heart, but they wear me out physically and mentally. But that doesn't mean I want to stop spending time with them. But I wouldn't classify myself as an introvert in the sense that I think what it means, that it's turned in on myself. And I don't think any introvert out there, is when they say I'm an introvert, is saying I'm turned in on myself. I just think they mean I'm not comfortable going around in social situations, or I'd rather not be in crowds, all of those kinds of things. So we need to come up with new language there. We need to maybe go to that old language of, you know, I'm just a shy person. I prefer my own company, something like that. Because words do mean things. They really do. But I think what Pastor Bender was saying was that our sin actually does, it doesn't make us an introvert in the colloquial sense, like we just want to stay home and watch Netflix and not have not people, people not bothering us or texting us. It actually does that turning in upon oneself, that true introversion, that curved in on oneself, so that we do not see God or our neighbors. We'll be right back.
Freedom of speech and religion are important rights for Christians because we are called to lift up Jesus.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Paavi Rossinen talking about her presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I have been a member of the Parliament of Finland for 27 years, but now suddenly I'm facing 3 criminal charges for sharing my deeply held beliefs based on the Bible. At the trial, the prosecutor tried to deny the core message of the Bible, the teaching of law and gospel. I defend the right to confess the Christian faith and its teaching on the human being.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paavi Rossinen at the 2022 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through His living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's Word with us for the baptized life in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Listen to that bump music. Does anybody, do you know anybody that writes letters anymore?
No.
That's a shame.
I do. My mother and my aunt, her sister, who lives in somewhere in Colorado, I asked her, so did you talk to my aunt? Did you talk to your sister? No, but I wrote her a letter. So those two write letters back and forth all the time. So
wow,
my mother.
That's good. That's a loss. I think we've lost something by not
writing definitely
letters.
I agree. It's definitely a lost art. You're right, Jeff. Definitely.
So getting back to my rant on courage, Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, 6th Vice President of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, he was talking about when the devil attacks you. And we're in Ephesians, putting on the full armor of God and the shield of faith and breastplate of righteousness. And one of the ways to squell the lack of courage or fear is God's word. Open your Bibles. Listen to Lutheran Public Radio. Sing hymns. Listen to Pastor Whedon's daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study. Turn off the news.
Turn off the news.
Turn off Twitter, Facebook, or limit your time on that. You know, Alfonso Espinosa is one of the few Lutheran pastors who actually had the courage before the election chastising people if they're spending more time watching their favorite news channel than reading God's word. Repent.
Well, you're always being catechized. Somebody's always catechizing you. And some of it you can't stop. Okay? I like to watch the local news because it tends to be actual news a little bit more. And really, what am I watching it for? I'm watching it for, in the case of St. Louis News, they cover four things. They cover fires because they have a helicopter. If they didn't have a helicopter, they wouldn't cover fires so much. But they have a helicopter. They can fly over the fire and see it. They cover shootings, which in St. Louis are all too common. They cover sports, and they cover the weather. I'm not particularly interested in shootings and fires, but I do like some sports and the weather. So I like the local news. Doesn't raise my blood pressure. Doesn't cause me any anxiety or anger or anything like that. But there are some channels that you turn on, and so they're not trying to catechize you too hard there. But you turn on some of the channels, the cable news channels, and they are catechizing hard. And they know that anxiety, social media knows this too, anxiety is addictive. And there's some sort of, I don't know, some sort of feedback loop in the brain. A doctor could probably explain it to us of how we tend toward those anxiety-inducing inputs, like cable news. And it becomes this kind of cycle. And I think there's a little bit of idolatry involved in this too. That what we hope for, where we find our hope and our sustenance, and where we set our faith and our trust is in the next thing. Well, yeah, that happened, but something else is going to happen now. Like, be it the war in Ukraine or the inflation rate or whatever it may be, if you kind of stop and think about what's happening in your brain while you're engaging that cable channel or that social media, how much of it is you just looking for the next thing that's going to change everything, or it's going to spell the doom of your political opponents or bolster your side or something like that? If you want that, just go watch football, where nothing is at stake. If that's what you want, go watch football. But do not allow the events of the world around you. That's why I say just shut off the news occasionally, or just watch just enough so you figure out what's going on. And there are people who said when we got television, it wasn't healthy for us. But I think we're kind of learning that none of this stuff is healthy for us. We abuse it all the time. But
myself included.
Yeah, me too.
But when we get anxious, what's causing that anxiety? And where do we turn to?
Right.
We turn to God's word. And there you find true joy, true comfort, true peace. You know, you're talking about local news. The difference in local news, why, not that there's not media bias in local TV news.
Oh, sure.
There's 90-second stories. It's a lot hard to catechize in 90 seconds. That reporter's got 90 seconds.
If that.
Yeah, that counts the lead-in from the anchor to the reporter's package. It's a lot harder. Cable news 24/7 is mostly commentary, folks, not news.
Well, think about a newspaper, the old newspapers, when ad space was at a premium. So you really had to make a lot of space for ads because that's how you made your money. So you had to minimize the amount of space for your actual news. And if you could say it in 100 words, it's better if you could say it in 80 words, because we got more space to sell some ads there if we can. And that required discipline of everybody involved. The reporter, they didn't have time to throw in adjectives.
The editor,
he had, his job was to pull out those adjectives and say, nope, that's not the story. What do they say? Don't tell me, show me. Is that one of those journalists?
I don't know. It sounds like a Missouri motto, the show me state.
But what it did is just that format of the newspaper, limited pages, limited column inches, enforced a kind of discipline on the people who are bringing us the news so that their ideas got excluded and the facts were included. So you could read a story that was unbiased because there wasn't room to, literally there was not room on the page to include your bias. And now we have unlimited talking space, unlimited scrolling space. It's no wonder that as that space has opened up, it's just filled up with commentary, opinion, and I love it when they say analysis. Because analysis has become another term for just bringing someone on to say whatever they think, whether it's true or not. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line about religion reporting.
This is Al from Arlington, Texas. I'm listening to the episode with Terry Mattingly discussing the new religious terms of the AP. And the question was brought up about why it is that newsrooms, newspapers, etc., don't have professional religious beat writers. And the comment was made that they don't know about religion. I would offer they don't care. And I think it's because to the average newsroom, covering religion is like covering the David Koresh Branch Davidian cults again. Because to them, that's all religions are, is just brain dead cults. Just my two cents. Thanks for doing what you do.
I think that's part of it. And I think Terry probably would agree with you that is part of it. I think Terry has made it clear many times that the reason that many journalists don't care about religion is because they don't think it's real. It's not real the way a sports score is real. It's not real the way a political event is real. It's not real the way a president's speech is real. It's just what goes on inside people's heads. In essence, if you just kind of boiled it down, I think most journalists don't think that religion is that important and that they have to cover it accurately because it's not real and it's not relevant to anything happening in the real world. What is real to today's journalists? Politics. What is politics? Well, politics is a kind of religion too. Look at the religious fervor of our political views. They're often more tightly held, more firmly held than our religious views. So it's a kind of a religion too, but that's the religion of the newsroom. It's politics, which is why when they report on, as Terry has often pointed out, when they report on religion, they don't think it's really that important to get into the details. They want to know what does it mean politically. But I'm just analyzing. I'm just another person saying whatever I want to say.
But why doesn't diversity go two ways? Our newsrooms are filled with predominantly people from upper to high class income homes, college educated, not first generation college education, second or third generation college educated homes. But if everybody kind of comes from the same socioeconomic background, or everybody shares the same opinion, so this is also true in academia, right? Who's arguing we need to get more, you know, conservative professors because we want to be truly diverse?
I mean, there may be like one or two genuine old line liberals out there who are saying that, you know, we need other voices in here, but that's not what it means anymore. That's not what diversity means anymore. It may mean that in the dictionary, but it doesn't mean that in actual practice. Who uses that phrase, the politics of the faculty lounge? Is it Robert George?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody, is it the guy that wrote Finding God at Harvard? I don't know. That's a really good question. That's a great quote.
Yeah, America now is experiencing the politics of the faculty lounge. The politics of what used to be the faculty lounge at a major Ivy League school university in the social sciences department is now our national politics.
One final email. Bob, Illinois. Why is there no longer a link to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever in the Issues, etc. website? It is also not in the LPR website. Or maybe it is so well hidden that I just can't find it.
Where is it?
It's not on either websites. We're running out of space with advertisers, hyperlinks.
Oh,
so we had to take some things down. So you have to, if you want the Word of the Lord Endures Forever, you got to go to thewordendures.org. It's no longer a hyperlink.
Do we not have it in any of the menus, the drop-down menus?
No,
I'll check.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We have limited ad space on the side, our sidebars, and it got pushed out by paid advertisers. And while we highly recommend that our listeners to Issues, Etc. also listen to Lutheran Public Radio at lutheranpublicradio.org and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org, we'll see if we find a way to squeeze those links in at our website. When we come back, Dr. Ken Sherb joins us. We're going to talk about the theological tradition of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Green River, Wyoming. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Brookings, South Dakota. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Timothy Lutheran, Huber Heights, Ohio, and Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.